chapter 19, 1 through 10. And what we're going to focus on is, and the title is going to be, The Great Change. The Great Change. One of the things that we look for, I love it when people make professions of faith, don't you? Isn't it a wonderful thing to see people waiting, maybe after church, to talk to you about the Lord? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I get excited, like I've told you a million times, I get excited when people make professions of faith, but I get the most excited when I see people change. And that's the reason why I call this message tonight the Great Change. A lot of times you'll notice this maybe when you've worked and went to school or worked on a job or whatever. You might have been around a bunch of people, and you'll notice that there's a lot of people that profess to be saved, but there's no change. Has any of you here tonight ever noticed? If you ever noticed that, could you bear witness by raising your right hand? You see it. And you see how they conduct herself, but there is really no change. And would you agree with me? That's a poor testimony, isn't it? We have a desire to see people change. And I hear a lot of, and of course, you know, the lost people, when they see that, they'll use that. And I say, well, look at old what's his name over there. Is he saved? And they'll get on, they'll come over to me and say, well, he couldn't be saved. I said, well, you need to be concerned about yourself. I said, are you saved? I mean, you're running your mouth about this fella right here, but you need to be concerned about your own soul. And you can just hear a little quiet go on after that. And that's the truth. People love to run other people down, but many times some of these people have never made a profession of faith. So, the great change. And that's what we're going to call this message this evening. When someone's been truly born again, there'll be a change of conduct in their life. We're not saved by our deeds. We're not saved by our works. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If you've been born again, there's going to be a change of conduct in their life. One of the things that Baptists have been historically, a lot of people say, well, they Baptists believe you can sin all you want to. You ever heard that before? They say that stuff all the time. That's not true. That's a lie. That's absolutely not true. We believe when someone is born again, there will be a change of life in that person. And as the scripture says, old things pass away and all things become what? They become new. People will be different and people will be changed. And that's what I look for. I get excited when people make professions of faith and when I talk to them about the Lord and they call upon Jesus and trust Him. But I look for a change afterward. I want to see people change. I want to see people coming to God's house. And I want to see people serving the Lord. That's what we want to see. We want to see that what again? We want to see that change. Okay? Now, what we're going to look at this evening, I got several texts that has to do with change. The great change. The first one we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to turn to, if you can't find things fast, I'll read it, but you need to look at the text too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17. All right. What's the message title? The Great Change. That's what we're looking for with regard to our people. Okay. Now here in this particular text that we're going to look at right now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17, notice what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what's it mean to be in Christ? Can anybody tell me? It means to be saved, doesn't it? The scripture says if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. And whenever the Lord saved your soul, you are in Him. That's how you're viewed. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? I'm in Christ Jesus. And that's there's all kinds of text that talks about being in Him. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you were placed in Christ. And old things pass away, and all things become new. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says. If any man be in Christ, he's what kind of creature? New creature. Do you look for newness in people? Do you look for newness in people? You should be able to see it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things becomes what? They all become new. So you have a newness of life. I've told you this in the past, but years ago, I had an old football coach, and his name was Coach Darby. Most of you know old Coach Darby. I loved him to death. Don't know why. He treated me like a dog. You know what I mean? But he was, didn't he, Rick? He was tougher than a whalebone, but you know, you just knew he loved you. Now he'd jump on me. He jumped on me for everything. But I loved him. I loved him to death. Well, one of the reasons why I had a real close relationship with my football coach, Coach Darby. And the reason, you know one of the reasons why that was? I got in so much trouble when I was in the ninth and the tenth grade. I got sent to the office, and it was Debbie's fault. I got sent to the office for everything. I almost got kicked out of high school for the rest of the year. I didn't even know they could do that. But that was what was going to happen. So I kept getting in trouble and in trouble and in trouble. Well, Coach Darby used to jump all over me over that all the time. But what happened is I started serving the Lord at the Elizabeth Baptist Church. I used not to listen much in the church service because I couldn't wait till the service to be done. But the Lord done a work on me. And I seen that I need a Savior, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And when it happened, it was a complete change. And it was a change that I didn't wrought myself. It was the work of the Spirit of God in my heart, and He changed me. And I didn't want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to conduct myself in that way anymore. The biggest problem I had, I know that I made a profession of faith when I was 8. But I was such a hoodlum after that, I wondered if it was real or not. So you know what I did? I did what the Scripture says. I made my election and my calling sure. Here's something I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know if I knew what I was talking about when I was earlier in my life. It might have been real then and I drifted. I don't know. But Lord, if it wasn't real and I never truly trusted you, I want to trust you right now. And you know what? I never stepped another backward step after that. I had my confidence. I knew Jesus saved me. I knew that he was my Savior. And I just moved on with that. That was a glorious thing. And old coach seemed to change. He could see it. And he liked that. As a matter of fact, he got to knowing Preacher John Henderson real well. That was our pastor at the time. And he would talk to Coach Darby about the Lord. See, it talked to me about the Lord and things. So everything was working out according to His will. So, there'll be a what when someone's born again? There'll be a change. You'll be able to see it. Coach Darby seen the change. And if you're here tonight and you're born again and you work on a job or you got family members, they need to see it in you. They need to see it in you. They need to see you reading your Bible. They need to see you praying. And not for a show or anything, but they need to know why you do what you do. When they see that change, that has an impact on them. Don't you want to have an impact on folk? And that's what we want to do. We want to, not only are we born again, but we seek to win others in our family and in our co-workers and in our friends. We seek to share the message also with them. Great change. Here in 2 Corinthians 5, old things pass away. All things becomes what? New. New way of living. New place to go after you die. Isn't that a wonderful thing? New place to go. One time we would have went to hell if we would have died without Jesus. But now we got a new place. When the Lord comes, He's either going to come and get us or we're going to die one. But it even changes dying a bit, doesn't it? It's a portal to glory when you die and you're born again. You just leave this life here and you go off to be with Jesus. Who's better off? How many of you got loved ones at home? How many of you got loved ones that's already went home? Raise your hand. You got any? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know where they're at? And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that you're going to see them again one of these days? That's a glorious thing. Okay? It's a great change. It's a great change. Number three, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 now. Go to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to try not to be, I'm going to do it as quick as I can. Matthew chapter 5. Here's the third point. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 6. I got ready to do all these tonight, but I've done that past pretty close, but I just want to look at one of them here. It says in verse 6, by Matthew 5 and verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? After righteousness, for they shall be filled." Notice it says they hunger and they thirst after what? Righteousness. They have a desire in their heart to do that which is righteous, and they have a hunger in order to do that. I think that's a wonderful thing to have, don't you? To have a thirst and to have a hunger for the Word of God. That's what drives people to church is what I think. People come to church because they're hungry and they're thirsty. Do you ever come that way before into the church service? You come in and you're like, man, I'm starving to death. I'm ready to hear something from the Scriptures and worship my God. It's a wonderful thing. I have a hunger. You know why I go to church? I'm hungry. What if you ain't preaching? I'm still hungry. There'll be a man that'll preach up here and give you something to eat. You know what I mean? I still have that hunger. You know what else I have with regard to the Scriptures? You know what else I have? I have a desire to read them. I like to read them. And I want you to understand something. It's not how much you read. It's how much you remember. It's how much you write down. I mean, there's a lot of times, man, I don't know if you're like me anymore, but I can read it and I can retain it for about 2 seconds and then it's gone. That makes me so mad I can't stand it. Doesn't it, you? It just goes boom. and it's going. But I keep looking. And I'll write things down, and then I'll go back and look at the text again, and it gives you an uplift, and it gives you an encouragement in your heart. And that's what this is speaking of in this particular text. Hunger. This isn't a hunger for physical food. This is a hunger for the Word of God. All of us need that. All the whole church. If you had a church full of people that were hungry for the Scriptures, it would set this place on fire in a good way. It really would. But you got to have what? A hunger. I would be hard to imagine if you had polls that people would take. As far as you look at Christian people, how much they take in the Scriptures versus how much more television do they watch. You know what I'm saying? You got the television, and then you got this the study of the Scriptures, or maybe even going to the church services. How much time do you spend with the Lord? Do you have a hunger for Him? Sometimes God's people lose their hunger. Y'all think God's people can lose their hunger? Yeah, I think they can too. They get focused on other things and not on the Scriptures. So it's very, very important. Let's turn back to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. And let's look at verse 21. I mentioned this a little while ago. I wanted to read it to you. It says, His Lord said unto him in verse 21. This is Matthew 25 and 21. It says, His Lord said unto him, what's He say? Well done. See where He says that again? He says, well what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what we look for. Do you believe that the Lord will call? Do you believe that the Lord, you'll stand before the Lord one day and give an account for what you did with what God gave you? Oh, I believe that. I believe we're accountable to the Lord. I also believe we're accountable for our service. I think we're accountable for what we do. And I think the Lord expects His servants to serve Him. I think that's what He wants us to do. And of all things, of all things ever, for the Master to be able to look at His servant and to say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for the Master to say with regard to us? For that to happen, what do we have to do? We need to be a faithful servant. We need to be a faithful servant. In all things, we need to be a faithful servant. And then you can hear that what again? Well done. Do we do that to joy in ourselves? No, we do that because we love the Lord. We do that because we love the Lord. We want to serve Him in such a fashion as to bring glory, honor, and praise to His name. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look back at this text for just a,
I want to spend a little bit more time on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we want to look at verses 20 and on down in the text. Notice what it says that we are. Let me go ahead and start at 18 again. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us by Jesus Christ, having given us the ministry of reconciliation. What's the ministry of reconciliation? That's, you know, you preach the gospel. The message of reconciliation is the gospel. How you get reconciled to God is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been reconciled to Him. And that's a wonderful thing to have. So notice how many times He says reconciled. Verse 18. He said, He hath reconciled us to Himself, Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry. The ministry of what? Reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is the gospel message. When they receive the gospel, then they're reconciled to God. Now, in verse 20, He says, we are His what? What's an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative from a nation. And from a king to another king. So we are on this earth as ambassadors. This world isn't my home. I'm an ambassador here. And you're an ambassador here. And we serve Him all our days. Until the king says, come on home. Come on home. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it wonderful to have reconciliation? Isn't it wonderful to have that? I was dead in trespass and sin, but now I've been reconciled to Him. And now I have peace. I have peace with God. All God's people said, it's a wonderful thing. Isn't it wonderful to have peace with God? Jesus comes tomorrow or tonight, ready to go. If we die tonight, we're ready to go. No better way to live than that. No better way to live. I love that, don't you? All right, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, then I'll read you another and we'll quit in an hour from now probably. Jeremiah chapter 31. In a little bit since I read this text, I like this one too. Jeremiah chapter 31. And let's look at 31 through 34. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. What kind of covenant? A new covenant. New covenant. He goes on to say, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, that's which covenant that they broke it. I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. Which my covenant, what did they do to it? They broke it. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel. Now watch this now. You got this in Hebrews 10 also. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their what? Inward parts. This is talking about the new covenant here in the book of Jeremiah. He's going to put within your heart a new covenant. So he said, I'm going to put my law in your inward parts and I'll write it in their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Isn't that a wonderful text? New covenant. We are under what covenant today? We're under the new covenant. That's a wonderful place to be. We're under the new covenant. Old things pass away and all things become what? New. We got a wonderful, wonderful life to live. I'm thankful for the covenant that the Lord has given us. You know, it would be a horrible life without eternal life, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a horrible life without eternal life? Everlasting life. Without that, my, what would you have to look forward to? I got a lot to look forward to, don't you? What do we got to look forward to? We got to look forward to heaven, don't we? Do y'all? How many of you have loved ones in heaven? Would you raise your right hand? You look forward to seeing them. You look forward to seeing your loved ones that's there. So these blessings are steadfast and they're sure, and they can be counted upon, and they are a comforting thing for God's people. Thank God for the new what? Thank God for the new covenant. Let's turn to John 10 and we'll wind this up. John chapter 10. Message tonight is on the great change. We talked about that all through the message this evening. The change of the new birth. There's always a great change. When someone's truly born again, you'll see a change in their life. God's people, our people should see that in you, in your life too. So John chapter 10, and we'll look at the verse 24. John chapter 10 and the verse 24. Listen what it says here. John 10 and 24 says, "Then came the Jews round about him. How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, say it plainly." And of course, Jesus had already told it plainly. His miracles, through his mouth. You could easily see who he was. He wasn't hiding who he was. The works that he did bore witness of him. Jesus said, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you're not what?" Why didn't they believe? Somebody tell me from the text. Not sheep. They believed not because they were not of my sheep. Now listen to the rest of it. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And watch this now. What the sheep do? They follow. That's a characteristic of sheep. They follow the shepherd. When you're born again, guess who you follow? You follow Jesus. You follow the shepherd. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." Now, I want you to listen to this right here. This is probably one of my favorite verses. I use it a lot. Here's what he gives you. "I give unto them eternal life." How long's eternal life? When do you get it? The moment you trust Jesus. I got eternal life now. That's what eternal life is. "I give them eternal life. They shall never" what? That means you don't. Would everybody look back at that text at verse 28? Look back at the text. You see where it says never perish? That means you'll never go to hell. That means there's no condemnation. That's a wonderful promise. And that's what the Lord Jesus did for us. He said, "I give to them eternal life and they will never perish." I do believe, if I remember right, that's a double negative too. I like to look at those, which means never, never perish. To put exclamation on it. "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." In order to wrestle you away, it'd be an impossibility, because you're what? Kept by the power of God. What a wonderful, wonderful text.
God has given us a great change. God has given us a great salvation. It's not temporary, but it lasts forever. It's a glorious thing to have in your heart. God has also made us to be ambassadors for Him. So while we're here, we represent Him as an ambassador to our families, our co-workers, and our neighbors and people that we know. What else has He done? He's made us one of His sheep. He's made us one of His sheep. And He gives us eternal life. And we will never, never perish. All God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. We'll close.